HarperCollins presents Merry Christmas, Coronation Street by Maggie Sullivan. Read by Gabrielle Glaister. To Helen Center. Chapter 1. October 1943. Peggy Brown clenched her fists and desperately tried to control her breathing as she stood on the concrete steps and stared at the dull stone frontage of the Weatherfield Majestic Theatre. The pillars that had been painted to look like ancient Ionic columns really did look old on what was a grey October morning, although they were brightened by the shiny new posters advertising the Christmas pantomime, which had been attached to them and were now flapping in the breeze. There hadn't been a panto in Weatherfield since all the theatres had gone dark at the beginning of the war in 1939. But now, 4 years later, here was the local repertory company preparing to bring Jack and the Beanstalk to Weatherfield once more, in time for Christmas. Peggy had been thrilled when she had read in the Weatherfield Gazette that theatres had been allowed to open again, because the authorities felt that they had, in fact, an important part to play as morale boosters and distractors to the besieged citizens of Britain. She was excited, happy even, or as happy as she could be, given that the war was still raging in Europe, as well as in the Pacific and the Far East, so that it was impossible to avoid all the miseries and difficulties that that entailed. But her heart had skipped a beat when she had seen, in a separate advertisement, that the Weatherfield Repertory Theatre were inviting anybody who was interested in joining the company to sign up and attend auditions. It seemed they were specifically looking to recruit new young members to replace those who were now involved in the war effort. At 17, Peggy hoped she might be just the right age. She didn't know whether she had any big talent, but she had long since been drawn to the magic of the theatre, and she read the invitation over again. Whenever things got particularly bad at home, with her drunken father constantly nagging at her to get a better paid job, or worse, threatening to take his belt to her for one imagined misdemeanour or another, she had always been able to escape to one of her special secret places where she could sit quietly and get lost in her own fantasies. Then, the previous summer, she had been introduced to the theatre when she had joined a drama club that included tuition in singing and dancing, which had opened in the next village, close to where she lived at the foot of the moors on the other side of Weatherfield. She really enjoyed it, and did her best to attend regularly. It was only a shame that it was run by someone from their neighbourhood who her father referred to as an airy-fairy theatrical excuse for a man whom he had no time for, and he tried to forbid her to go. "Not the sort of man you should be hanging around," he told her. But Peggy had been entranced and secretly continued attending the weekly sessions, paying for them out of the little she earned at the local newsagents, though she felt sad when they put on a Christmas show for the parents and she couldn't persuade her mother to go. Somehow her father had found out, and he'd threatened to give them both a belting. But if he had thought that that was the way to drive such nonsense out of her head, as he saw it, he was very much mistaken. Peggy would not be put off. If anything, she had become even more determined than ever to pursue the possibility of working in the theatre more seriously, and so, when an opportunity arose, as it had done now, she couldn't wait to get involved and give it a go. And now here she was, doing her best to control her nerves as she approached the theatre to attend for an audition. It was only a shame that the day had got off to a bad start, for before it had really begun, her father, suspecting that she might be up to something, had done his best to spoil
Sample complete. Ready to continue?